Happy Tuesday!
My name's Nick.
My name is Alan.
And welcome
into the dungeon.
This week we find ourselves at the top of Dingledick Slope, at the foot of Icebyre Hold. True shrubberies have just witnessed their quarry at the top of the fortress. Fortunately for them, the Addlewhite Dragon had not seen them, sneaking up and looking to break and enter into its lair.
Oh, Shrew, did you see the dragon?
Well, yes, it's hard to miss, Finna. We best get to shelter quickly.
Well, it looks like there's only one way to go for shelter.
Yes. Let's be quiet about it. We don't know what lies behind these walls.
Oh, I've got a good idea. Didn't Dingledick come through a crypt?
Yes.
I just hope there's no damn banshee there.
That's what I mean. We do not know what lies behind these walls. Let's try and be as quiet as possible.
I imagine the pass without a trace I cast last time has already expired.
That's correct. Lasted just enough for you not to get spotted by the dragon.
I want to cast it again as we start walking into the inside of the hold and the crypt itself.
Well, you got to find the door first.
Well, I'm going to cast it now and then I'll start the investigations and the... because we want to be quiet as we can during the whole process.
Very well.
That's my last level 2 spell slot.
Oh, you better hope there's no bench in there.
Yeah. We need to rest.
I take it you want to be rolling for stealth then?
Yes. Those were all my rolls for everyone at once. Plus 10 for everyone. And I'm going to roll for Shrew again because of my boots.
Okay, so with those stealth checks out of the way, what are the shrubberies doing?
Okay, so we need to find the entrance. Can you explain what we are seeing here at the top of the slope?
All you're seeing, really, is this cliff face.
Is there like a wall in front of me?
A natural wall?
Well, I've seen this before many a times in our adventures. One of these walls must have a switch of sorts. A button that you can push.
And I want to put both palms on the wall and start a feeling to see any of the bricks give a little way. In case they are switches or buttons.
Alright, give me an investigation check with advantage.
19.
As you're feeling your way around this wall, you don't find any buttons or switches, but you do find the trace of a very, very slight opening outlining the shape of a door.
Oh, well, it seems there's a door here.
Can I open that?
As you push on it, nothing happens.
Can I pull on it?
With your halfling-sized fingers, you can more or less slightly get your fingers in at places, but not enough to get a good grip on it.
In the book we read from Dominic Dingledick, didn't say anything about a magic password or anything to open the door as he escaped, right?
No, he pushed it open from the inside.
Oh, so I need to pull.
Well, it's a good thing we found this as we climbed up the mountain and
put my hand in the bag of holding, think of a crowbar, take the crowbar out. As I'm already here, I might as well think of a sausage. I also take a sausage out, give it a bite.
You're not putting that back in, are you?
No. I'm leaving it in my mouth, like, you know, half eaten, just in my mouth.
Like a cigar.
Yeah.
And now all I've got to do is stick this crowbar in here and start pulling.
And I want to try and budge it.
All right, give me an athletics check.
22. Buff Shrew.
You manage to find a slightly wider gap. But the crowbar slips in. You start using the crowbar as a lever. You can feel it slowly start to give way. Seems like it's a bit jarred though. It's gonna need another good pull. Let me give you a hand with it, Shrew.
Yes, I was gonna say, stop twiddling your thumbs and come here and pull.
Alright then, give me an athletics check with advantage. You can use whoever has the highest strength.
16.
Between the both of you, you put your backs into it. You see Fabian using his leg on the side of the cliff, using it to get more traction and more strength. It opens about a foot wide. Cold gust of air rushes forth, carrying with it the stench of decay and despair.
Yes, hold on, let me eat the sausage.
So I finish the sausage.
This smells familiar. It's giving me Axholm vibes. Let's be careful.
Well, it is a crypt.
Exactly, Fabian.
What's the plan here, then?
Well, let's go in, let's find shelter. We need to rest. We can't attack the dragon in our state. We wouldn't last a minute.
I'm sure we wouldn't. We also need to be careful. Surely there's cultists out there looking for us. What are we going to do with them, Shu?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, can we really risk being flanked by them if we face the dragon?
That's why I intended to kill them all down there, but unfortunately there seems to be more. We don't know how many.
Oh, what are the worrying things, though, Shu? I don't know if you picked up on it, but when you told them you were going to kill their leader, they laughed. They said that that wasn't their leader. Do you think that perhaps the other one that ran away is their true leader? Or things always come in threes.
Maybe there's someone even more fearsome. It's not ideal. We cannot attack a dragon and have them attack us while we try to kill it. But it is what it is. We'll have to go slowly and see what we find.
Perhaps they've gone off looking for us.
Maybe they don't know about this secret entrance.
Well, I lived here for God knows how long. I never knew this was here. Who would have thought it?
Well, don't mean to be rude, but you're not the most astute of characters.
What's astute?
It's okay. Let's move on.
Okay, if we need to pull this stone door open a bit more, we will. Then we want to very quietly sneak in and see what we find in there.
All right. So between you, you managed to pull the door open a little more. It's now wide enough for all of you to get in. And so, as our intrepid heroes delve into the icy depths of Icespire Hold, a chill envelops you like a shroud. Your breath mingles with the frigid air, forming ghostly wisps that dance before your eyes. The darkness seems to swallow sound, leaving only the echo of your heartbeats reverberating throughout this room. A 15 by 25 foot chamber stretches out before you, adorned with a sarcophagus in each of its corners, and a fifth one, bang in the center. Beyond the end of this chamber, you can see a short 15-foot corridor which leads to a closed door.
Murgob?
Yeah.
Do you know who's buried here?
Not a clue, eh? Probably Delisandra's men.
That was what her name was.
Do you think this is a good place to rest up?
Well, I lived here for years, mate. Never even knew this place existed.
Well, it seems that there is only one entrance apart from the secret one that seems to be rather well hidden. It would be easy to guard. We don't really know what's beyond this. Maybe let me go a bit further down the corridor. Let's see what I find. And I'll be back.
So as Shrew said, I want to go down the corridor myself. See what I find.
With cautious steps, you press forward, guided by the faint waning daylight, which dimly illuminates the opening, casting a long, sinister shadow against the icy floors and wall. The air inside is colder still. You feel it seeping into your bones. The darkness almost becomes suffocating as you go in, pressing in on all sides of you, like a malevolent force. You're going in, you can hear Fabian under his breath.
Great. Looks like I'm not going to see shit again.
So as you're inside this room, you notice that the stone caskets, those sarcophagi, are unmarked. The one in the center looks partially open.
Yeah, I just want to ignore this room for now, and I want to head down the corridor and see what lies beyond. Don't want to be messing with anything.
So you make your way through this room, and down the short 15-foot corridor. Find yourself in front of a door.
Is it a door or is it a jar?
It's a door. What do you mean a jar?
Is it closed?
It's closed.
Okay, so I want to try and open it.
It opens with ease.
I'm doing all this stealthily, okay?
Yeah, I'm still using your stealth roll.
Hope it was good.
It leads into this small 15 by 15 foot square room with a set of steep stairs leading upwards and a door flanking you to your left and your right, bang in the middle of each wall.
Okay, close the door and go back to my friends.
Okay.
Well, there's another room with two doors at each side and another corridor in front of it. I think it's best if we stay here. So let's rest up and get ready for what's to come. What do you guys think?
I think that's wise. Although I can't see shit in there.
I think we should close this door behind us anyway. Maybe we could even light a little fire in here. Oh, no, this is... We'd probably suffocate.
There's no windows, I imagine, right?
No.
Okay. But yes, we should close the door behind us in case the cultist spots anything unusual.
That's a good idea.
Did the hooded lantern I have work? Function? The one I found in the corpse of the horse?
You haven't tried it. The glass was cracked, but it looked otherwise fine.
I'm gonna try and fondle with it and see if it's working. So give us a little bit of lighting here.
It works.
Good. So I can light it. We'll close the door. The big stone wall door thing behind us. And I want to get closer to the middle sarcophagus.
As you close the door, you realize it's got this lever on the inside. That was clearly designed only for a one-way opening.
Oh, nice.
If we need to escape, this is our route.
Are there any toboggans here?
Not that you can see.
Okay. Well, yeah, I want to go up to that sarcophagus in the middle. Don't want to touch anything, but I want to peer into it.
As you peer in, you can see what appears to be a toboggan lying inside it.
Seriously?
Seriously.
All right.
Well, I don't think there's anyone buried here. These are the hiding places of the toboggans. Very clever, whoever designed this. I'm impressed. So we don't have to fear any banshees or ghosts. This is not the resting place of anyone, I don't imagine.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Oh, yes.
Do you think there's one in each of the tombs?
Probably so, but if we do need to use it, we'll find out then. Best not go touching anything. Unless maybe there's treasure. Yes, I'm always fond of a little treasure. And we did have to pay a dabra, if we remember correctly. Perhaps a little gander won't hurt us.
You sure you want to be touching tombs, Shrew?
Well, what if there's treasure, Fenna? Or maybe a weapon, a dragon-slaying weapon, perhaps. Something to aid us, yes.
Well, Fabian has a dragon sword. Well, we've got the ballista.
Yes, but maybe you can be equipped better. You never know. Maybe some potions? What do you say?
Oh, you know what I'm like, Shrew? I don't want to tempt fate.
Perhaps you're right. Let's leave it for now. Let's not get too greedy. We have enough items and trinkets to help us defeat this dragon.
Do you think we should get the toboggan out and leave it ready in case we need to make a hasty escape?
Well, that is a brilliant idea. We'll put it next to the wall. We'll hide it behind one of the crypts. Not inside, but behind one of the sarcophagus nearer the exit. Help me out here.
You want to try and get the toboggan? I don't think it would fit all of us, though, right?
Fits four. Like a Jamaican bobsleigh team.
What about Caspers, then?
I'd say because you and Fenn are small, you could squeeze in, even with Caspers.
Okay, then yeah, we just need one. We go in and we try and pull it out from the middle sarcophagus.
Yeah, you're able to do so without any problems.
We'll hide it behind one of the ones that are closest to the exit, so that no one can see it.
Well, there's nothing left to it. Let's eat up, drink something, and get to resting. Who's gonna take first watch?
I don't mind taking first watch, mate.
Very well.
True, I know you keep pestering me every time I bring up the need for a plan, but what exactly is it we're gonna do now?
We're gonna kill a dragon! Oh, yes. Anyway, rest up. Well, how? Is anyone's guess, really? How do you prepare to kill a creature that's, I don't know, 5 times bigger than us, maybe? 10 times more deadly, perhaps? I have no idea how we are going to kill it.
All the more reason to at least come up with some sort of strategy.
Well, I'm all ears. What strategy do you have in mind to kill a dragon? It's not like we do this for fun. It's not like we've killed countless dragons before.
Well, I mean, surely we need to find a way of getting it to stay on the ground and...
Well, we have the ballista, of course. We'll fire at it and try to keep it grounded, of course. But after that is anyone's guess what we're going to find. Try and avoid his breath attack, something we read in the book. Try and avoid that obviously, but again, we'll have to adapt as we fight it. If there's anything I've learned in the past weeks, living and fighting alongside all of you, is that our plans tend to go pear-shaped more often than not.
One way of putting it. Well, if we figure out exactly where we are, I could sketch up a quick map over this place, to my recollection.
Oh, you're an artist, are you?
What? No. Far from it. But I remember more or less where the rooms were, just never knew this was here.
That would be very, very helpful indeed. We are in a crypt currently, and as I said, the next room really leads to another two rooms and another corridor. I can't help you beyond that, as I haven't ventured any further.
I imagine we're somewhere beneath the castle at this point.
Well, yes, I imagine so.
Well, rest up. I'll keep this first watch.
Very good.
And so in the icy bowels of Icepie Hold, the chill bites deep as the cold winter night envelops your surroundings. True shrubberies have found refuge within the crypt's somber embrace. Murkup takes watch as the rest of you huddle together for warmth. Your senses are assailed by a symphony of sensations. Give me a perception check for Murkup on this watch.
That's a total of 18 for Murkup.
Okay. Murkup's watch passes without any incident. He goes over to wake Fabian.
Oi, Fabian. It's your turn, mate. Oh, my muscles are aching.
Right, I guess I'll go take watch. Rest up, Murkup. We'll be relying on your strength and your knowledge of these halls.
As soon as I get my bearings, I'll be able to know where we are.
And so Fabian takes his watch. Give me a perception check for Fabian.
Natural 20.
Ooh, Fabian. About an hour into Fabian's watch, he suddenly becomes very alert, as distant echoes seem to reverberate somewhere above him. With that natural 20 perception, this sounds to him like the scrape of claws against stone, and a faint chatter of an alien tongue, echoing like the whispers of the damned.
Oh shit. True. True.
What, Fabian?
I mean, footsteps above.
Above what?
No, somewhere above us.
What do you mean, footsteps? I don't hear it.
Shh, listen.
And True can now also hear what sounds like nails or claws on stone, and some strange chattering in a tongue you've never heard before.
Well, I don't know what that is or what it's speaking. Is your watch over?
No, I've got about an hour left.
I'm going back to bed. If you hear them come closer, wake us all up.
All right, I'll finish my watch by the other door.
It seems distant enough as it is, right?
Yeah, it seems significantly higher above you.
Okay.
So Fabian goes to finish his watch next to that door you opened. So the rest of Fabian's watch passes. He wakes up Shrew.
Shrew, it's time for your watch.
Oh, so soon. Okay. Did anything come of those voices? Did they quiet down? Or?
No, I sort of heard it for a while and then they disappeared. Seems like it was coming from above us. But I mean, I guess if even Murkup didn't know this was here, the cultists don't seem to know that this is here. Guess we're safe.
For now, yes. And it's an easily defendable location, so let's see how it goes. It's worrying there's people making this hold their home. You're gonna have to deal with them too. Anyway, get your rest.
Alright then, so where's Shrew taking his watch?
I'm gonna go up to the door directly and keep my ear against it to see if I hear anything coming towards us, so that it gives me time to warn my companions.
Okay. Shrew's watch comes and goes. You haven't heard anything. Obviously, you haven't seen anything. Those noises you heard before seem to have disappeared into the night.
Okay, I'll go and wake up Fenna. Fenna!
No, Shrew!
Yeah, it's your time.
No, you could have woken me a bit gentler.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm a bit on edge. We heard some voices.
Heard voices?
Yes. From up the top. And some clawing on the floor.
Oh, do you think it was the dragon?
I have no idea. It didn't sound as large as a dragon, I don't think.
Oh no. Does that mean we're not alone here then?
It appears we are not. Anyway, take care. Keep your ears peeled, and if you hear them coming towards this door here, if you do, wake us up immediately.
No, trust me, I will.
Good night.
Oh, rest well, Shrew. We're depending on you.
I'll try. So I'll lay to rest.
So Fenna goes to take her watch. And you'd be glad to know that it passes likewise, without any incidents, and without her hearing anything. And that concludes True Shrubbery's Watches. Alright, everyone. It's now or never, I guess. Come on, wake up. We've got a dragon to kill.
Woohoo, let's go. Come on. I'm ready. I'm hyped. I'm pumped. I'm feeling good. Let's go. Let's kill this dragon. Come on. Everybody. Everybody up. Come on, Fabian.
I love your enthusiasm, Shrew.
Well, as Fenna says, it's now or never. It's a moment of truth. We've got this.
All right then, mate. Let's do it. Hopefully I'll know exactly where we are soon. You got a bit of parchment I can scribble on?
Yes, yes. I hand Murkub some parchment I have discarded in my bag somewhere.
All right, as soon as we know exactly where we are, I can give you a rough location of where everything is.
Very good. Well, I've had access to a few new spells. I'll have you know, Fabian, one I prepared specifically for you.
For me? Do tell. You have me intrigued.
I heard you whinging about the fact that you cannot see in the dark, so I prepared a little spell called Dark Vision. Oh, yes.
Be nice to actually be able to see in here.
Means we can explore without me holding onto Casper's tail or using a light, which would give us away.
That's right. So, come closer. I'm going to cast it now.
I hope you're not tricking me again, True.
No, it wouldn't be the time, though. It would be funny. I put my hand on his forehead and cast Dark Vision.
This is amazing. I can actually see. So this is what I'd like to look for your goggles, then.
Yep. You can see up to 60 feet.
Gotta say, I didn't fully trust you there. Had these visions of me walking into things. Kind of like when you told me I could walk on water.
Oh, yes. Good old days. But as I said, it's not the time to fool around.
Oh, glad to hear that, True.
Hmm.
And it's not the time for one of your plans, either.
No, as I said yesterday, there are no plans.
Oh, I don't know what's worse.
Once we scout ahead, we need to see what we're dealing with. The terrain. We'll figure something out. I've got a little plan, if I'm to be honest. Something cooking in my mind. When I figure anything out, I'll share it. But for now, let's go. And let's go quietly and try to hide in the shadows. I'm going to cast Pass Without a Trace again. And I cast Pass Without a Trace so that it gets everyone.
All right, before I ask for your stealth rolls, would you like to share with the listeners what other spells you've got prepared?
Yeah, they're not anything wow, but I have Call Lightning prepared now, Wall of Water, and I got Grasping Vine as well.
Wall of Water is going to be interesting in an environment that's frozen.
Yep, and it actually talks to that in the spell description. It says that spells that deal cold damage that pass through the wall cause the area of the wall they pass through to freeze solid. At least a 5-foot square section is frozen. Each 5-foot square frozen section has an AC 5 and a 15 hit points. Reducing a frozen section to 0 points destroys it. When a section is destroyed, the wall's water doesn't fill it. So I thought maybe it could serve as a barrier to the dragon's attack. It won't stop the attack, but once it freezes, perhaps it serves as a barrier between us and the dragon for a small while. Again, I don't really know, like, the layout, if it's open, if the dragon is going to be more, like, inside somewhere when we get there. I don't really know the layout of the place very well, so I don't know if I'll be able to use it effectively, but, you know, it's something else to have.
All right, then, let's get those stealth checks out of the way.
My second roll for Shrew. I will say one thing before we go. For those that weren't aware, I think Murkub only. We did hear some voices atop of us yesterday night. Be very careful.
Alright then, let's get going, I guess.
Yes, Fabian, you go first. I'll go behind you, then Fenna, with Caspers, and then Murkub at the back.
So you find yourself inside the square room, beyond the door. You've got a steep set of stairs in front of you, and a door to your left and right, where the shrubbery is going.
Silently, I say to Morgob, Morgob, I believe this is probably still the area where you weren't aware of, seeing as we've exited it with such ease.
That'd be right, mate. I guess once we get to the top of those stairs, probably another one of those fancy hidden doors.
Yes. Maybe we should check these rooms beside us first.
Make sure there's nothing sneaking up behind us.
Good idea. I was thinking of treasure, but your reason is better. Let's go. And I want to take the right door.
As you start going towards that door, you notice that above each of the doors, the one you've just come from, the one you're just going towards, and the one on the opposite side of the wall, all have a lintel into which is chiseled the word Crypts in common. As you open this rough-hewn passageway, contains unmarked stone caskets, each inside a small alcove. There's six here in total.
Are they all locked shut?
Yes, they're all sealed.
Well, it seems more toboggans, or perhaps remains of the unfortunate. Let's not delve much longer in here. Let's move to the other room.
This room, very similar, almost like a mirror image of the alcoves you've just been to. Except this one only contains five sarcophagi.
And the sarcophagi are all sealed as well here?
That's correct.
Well, it would seem that nothing living, at least, is going to surprise us from behind. Let's just go up the stairs. Let's not touch anything here.
So you ascend this 3-foot-wide staircase. You seem to find yourself at a dead end. But you can clearly see from the inside of this chamber as you reach the top. There seems to be a faint outline, what appears to be a disguised door, to your immediate left and your immediate right.
Seems to be two exits, here on the left and the right. I imagine open from the other side. We're going to have to use our trusty crowbar again as I reach into the bag of holding and pull it out. Similarly to what we did outside, I want to try and open the left one.
You notice that these seem to slide to the side into the wall rather than swing inwards or outwards. Which wall are you trying this on? As you're looking at the map, your left or your right?
As I'm looking forwards, to the left.
So as this door opens, you find this 15 by 20 foot room, in the middle of which stands a sturdy oak table. You can see that there seems to be some tiny carved wooden figures strewn about, as are what looks to be torn up remnants of old maps. You can also see that there's a number of skeletons scattered around the room.
I remember this from Dominic Dingledick's book.
Well, I know where we are, mate. This is Dalcendra's room. I'm remembering now. Just give me a second.
And Murkup starts sketching on that piece of parchment that you gave him. And after a few minutes, he presents you with a general overview of Icespy Hold.
Well, this is very useful. Very, very helpful. Murkup, thank you very much. Quite the sketch you've provided here. I didn't know you had a way with yachts.
Well, you're being too kind, mate.
No, it's fantastic. You should have told us before. We could have made you our official cartographer.
Well, just hope his memory is sharp.
Okay, so judging by your sketch here, we might have heard the whispers coming from the dining room yesterday.
Quite possibly, but I imagine they probably moved around, because we stopped hearing them off then.
What time was it, more or less?
I don't know, you've got that clock.
Damn it!
What time was it on your clock?
I didn't think to check. I look at the clock now. What time does it say? Does it read?
6 a.m.
If it's 6 a.m. now, then perhaps it was past midnight, a few hours past midnight. They might have been relaxing, having some snacks. I don't know. But where would you think the dragon is, Murkup? The very top of this hold.
I'd imagine so, yeah. I don't really see him fitting in any of these corridors.
And which is the quickest way up?
Well, if we go through the door over there.
Over where?
Just opposite.
Okay, yes, exit this room, you mean?
Yeah, there's a staircase that leads up to the roof.
Directly. Okay, so this is it? This is it. Don't want to prolong this anymore, but should we maybe scout the other rooms? Maybe we can pick up cultists one at a time and...
That would be wise, rather than them hearing a battle going on and catching us off guard.
Hmm. I wonder, though, if the dragon will hear us. Well, we're safe down here, I imagine. And I don't see the dragon walking down some stairs, no. Okay, so judging by this map, the handy map that Murkab has given us, if we exit this door here now in this room and we turn left, we'll get to the pantry and the armory and the kitchen.
It would appear so, yes.
What say we check the kitchen for? Actually, let's check the armory first. Let's see what we find there. Maybe the signs that the cultists are making this a permanent residence. We'll find maybe weapons they may have or similar stuff. Let's go quietly.
Oh, before we start, I forgot to mention that whilst I was having my watch, I would have liked to try and figure out what the potion I found when we killed the cultists is.
Oh yeah, forgot about that. Well, I can tell you that after spending some time with it, is in fact a potion of gaseous form.
Ooh.
Basically, when you consume it, you, along with everything you're wearing and carrying, turn into a misty cloud for 1 hour. Whilst you're in this form, your only method of movement is a flying speed of 10 feet. It also gives you resistance to non-magical damage, an advantage on strength, dexterity, and constitution saving throws. You can pass through small holes, narrow openings, even mere cracks. You can't fall, and you remain hovering in the air, even when stunned or incapacitated. However, whilst you're in the form of this misty cloud, you can't talk or manipulate objects, and any equipment or gear or objects that you're carrying or holding can't be dropped, used, or otherwise interacted with. You also can't attack or cast spells.
And how long does it last?
1 hour.
And I cannot revert to my normal form willingly?
No. The spell will end, though, if you drop to 0 hit points.
Okay, I keep a hold onto that for now, and we start making our way to the kitchen.
Same marching order?
Yes.
As you open this door, you see this 15-foot corridor, which opens into a larger room, which Murkab very helpfully labelled as the Orc Barracks. To your immediate right is a spiral staircase that leads up, and to your left is that 20-foot corridor which leads to the pantry, the armory, and the kitchen. Where was it you were going first, you said? The armory?
Yeah, that's right, the armory.
I'm going to ask you for a perception check. You can do this with advantage rather than rolling one for each person, and you can use the highest wisdom score that you've got for this.
Very well. That's a total of 20.
You strain your ears against the icy silence of this hole, and amidst the chilling stillness, you can hear the faint scrape of claws against stone.
From behind this door? From the armory?
Coming from the kitchen. The door's to your immediate right as you're looking at the armory.
Oof.
You also hear the occasional clang of metal against metal.
In the kitchen as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't hear anything in the armory?
No, you're not hearing anything in the armory.
Okay. I want to open the door to the armory. Check for traps first.
Okay, roll an investigation.
That's a 2.
Door seems fine to you.
Brilliant. Let's just open it then.
This is a 15 by 15 foot square room. Directly in front of you is another door, which seems to lead to a corridor, which links up to the audience chamber and dining room on Murkab's map. And here you can see a number of weapon racks that stood against the north and south walls. These appear to be lying smashed on the floor, amid the remains of wooden mannequins. You can see some rusty hooks on the walls, which once would have held armor, shields, and helms. You also see a chest lying amongst the armor.
Is it closed?
Yeah, it looks closed.
Can I check for traps?
Yes, you can.
19.
As you're carefully inspecting this chest, you notice that the lid isn't fully closed, and you can see what appears to be a tripwire attached to the internal part of the lid.
Hmm. Well, well, well. Someone's keeping something here rather safe. This seems to be trapped.
I want to try and disarm the trap. I think this is our first for our campaign, right? Disarming a trap.
Might be. I know you've triggered a few traps before.
Hmm.
Not sure you've tried to disable one.
I don't recall.
Well, you're going to need to do a dexterity check using thieves' tools, which I don't believe you have.
No, I have a crowbar. Is that considered a thieves' tool?
I don't think it's got the finesse required for this. But I mean, I can let you try and do this with... I was going to say Wilbur's knife. It's not Wilbur. What was his name? Vincent. With Vincent's knife, but it's going to be a disadvantage.
Oof. Let's go for it. Okay, here we go. Dexterity.
That's correct.
Oof.
Is that a good oof or a bad oof?
That's a bad. Total of 9.
Total of 9, you say?
Yes, I say.
And this is true opening, idea?
Oh, yes.
That's a 27 to hit.
So, I triggered the trap then, right?
Yeah, you definitely triggered the trap.
Okay, yeah, that hits.
That also hits. 12 to hit.
That misses.
Okay, so as you open this chest, 4 knives come flying out of it. 3 of them striking in the chest, the 4th one flying over you.
What are you doing, Shrew?
Shh, keep it down. Keep your voice down. Keep your voice down. It's nothing. It's but a scratch.
The total of 11 piercing damage.
It's okay.
There better have been something worth it in there, Shrew.
Don't be so judgmental. What am I supposed to do? 1 second.
Can I see what there is inside?
It's empty.
Woo, yes. Oh, we. It's a good thing I opened this. Much needed. Yes. Let me put it away before I drop it. No. Very good.
What is it, Shrew?
It's going to help us tremendously. Don't worry about it.
I close the...
It's a potion.
Yes, a potion of healing. With healing, yes. I might take it now, actually.
Just to clarify for our listeners, that's Shrew deceiving his party.
That's tempting to you. I take out one of the normal potions of healing I found from the horse that I don't even know if I told anyone about, and I want to drink one of them.
All right, so that's 2d4 plus 2 at full because you're using your action for it.
I've got 10 hit points back, so I'm down 1 only. Not an ideal start to our spelunking of this hold, but anyway, should we check what's in the kitchen?
I guess we should.
Let's turn back then.
I'm hoping that with your scream... You haven't alerted whatever was in
there. I didn't scream. I managed to muffle my shout. I was well aware.
So you're heading to the door of the kitchen then?
Yes, but I want to take out my immovable rod. Which way did the door to the armory open? Inwards or outwards?
Inwards.
Does it have a handle?
It does.
Well, I've done this before. I'll place the immovable rod between the handle and the door. Where they try to pull it open, it stays jammed.
Which door, sorry? There was 2 in the armory.
The one we went in through.
So you want to block that door? I'm taking it from the outside, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. What are you doing?
Well, we are opening the kitchen and seeing what we find there.
And is that in the same marching order? So Favian doing this?
Oh, yep.
So just to remind our listeners, Favian, Shrew, Fenner, Caspus, and Murkub holding up the rear.
Well, that's right.
So you open this door?
Yes, I do. What do I see?
You see a kitchen.
What do I see inside?
You're seeing this 30 by 15 foot long rectangular room. This place looks like it's been trashed. Furnishings destroyed, scattered debris everywhere. Cold breeze blowing out through 2 twin fireplaces built into the south wall. You also see these 2 creatures turn and face you. Their scaly hides blending with the surroundings. Mottled mix of earthy browns and greys, wearing tattered fur-lined cloaks which adorn its shoulders. They've got a pointed snout adorned with small sharp horns on large bat-like ears which are twitching with anticipation. A series of crude bone piercings and trinkets dangle from their ears, creating an eerie jingling sound as they move and turn to face you. You also notice these thin bony ridges running along the top of their heads, resembling a row of miniature spines. These look like lizard folk to you.
Do they seem like they're about to attack?
You know what's coming next. I'm going to ask you to roll for initiative.
13 for Shrew.
Okay.
20 for Fenner and Caspus. 7 for Murkub. And 5 for Favian.
All right, I'm going to roll for the kobolds. Shrew doesn't know they're kobolds. I think this is the first time you've seen them, but our listeners from the description will have guessed it. Oh, first one's a nat one.
Yes, all right.
And the second one is a 9. So top of the round is going to be Fenner and Caspus, followed by Shrew, followed by one of the kobolds, then Murkub, Fabian, and then the last of the kobolds. So over to Fenner.
Okay, Fenner, if she can squeeze past and get up to the door. From the door, she's going to cast Sacred Flame to the kobold that is nearest to her.
All right, that's a dexterity saving, if I remember correctly. It's been a while.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, here we go. Dexterity saving throw time. It's a total of 12.
It does not save.
All right, roll for damage.
As Fenner's level 8, it's a 2d8 damage.
Oh yeah, she's got potent cantrips, doesn't she?
Well, no, it's 2d8 because it's an extra 1d8 when you reach 5th level and an extra d8 if you reach 11th and so on. But yeah, she also has potent cantrips, which means she adds the spell modifier. So it's 2d8 plus 4. Okay, here we go. 6 and a 1, 7 plus 4 for a total of 11 damage.
You hear this shriek as this creature collapses to the floor.
Yes. Weaklings. Last time I said that, a big guy came out from the other, from the tent. So yeah, let's not tempt fate again.
No. Is Fenner doing anything else with her turn?
She's moving back to where she was, if she can.
Yeah, she can.
That's her turn then.
Then it's over to Shrew.
Shrew is going to walk up to the other kobold. He's going to stop 10 feet away from him. And from there, he's going to cast Poison Spray. It has 10 feet range. Constitution time.
Is that true casting the spell? That grunt?
Yeah.
Is he facing away from the kobold? It sure sounds like it.
Yeah, it's a cloud of noxious gas coming out of my behind.
All right, Constitution. Oh, you better be hoping I roll like this for the dragon. That's another natural one.
Oh, yeah. He takes double damage. No, that's not true, but it should.
Yeah, it should really, shouldn't it?
I suppose spells do enough damage for them to also have the doubled, so I don't know. This is a 2d12 spell. That's a total of 14 damage.
Oh, he gone.
All right, short work. Short work. And no spells wasted for now.
And nobody running away to alert the others.
Oh, yes.
If there are others.
No, you just told yourself. There are others.
Yeah. Right, yeah, you wouldn't imagine just two of them lying around, would you?
Nah, not really.
So yeah, you guys are out of initiative. You've managed to do this quietly by casting those two spells. The poor kobolds didn't know what hit them.
Nice. Whoa. I don't know what they were, but I wasn't expecting those. I was expecting cultists.
Do you think they're working in cahoots with the cultists?
Perhaps. Although they look rather scaly, like. Maybe it's...
I've never seen something like this before.
Maybe it's dragon children. Maybe the dragon has had children up here. He's been laying eggs.
No. How many of these can we expect then?
Oh, I don't know. How many eggs does a dragon lay usually?
Don't look at me. I've got no idea. I've never seen these before. Ever. Certainly didn't live here when we were here, mate.
Very strange. Well, now we know we need to be careful around here. Let's carry on, but let's keep quiet.
Where Shrew Shrubbery's heading, then?
There was a pantry connected to the kitchen, right?
Yep, that's correct.
And I would have made probably a quick investigation of the bodies. Did I find anything?
Nothing of value at all. Not even coins.
All right, so I slowly open the door to the pantry.
This room looks like it's been ransacked, leaving nothing but smashed shelves, broken barrels, torn sacks. But you do find the remains of a humanoid, clad in those black robes that you've seen on the cultists.
How fresh does this kid look?
A few days at least.
Oof. Do I see any signs of struggle on him? Like, has he been lacerated by claws or maybe teeth, similar to the ones I've seen on the kobolds we just dispatched?
As you're looking at him, he seems to be lying over a chest.
Oh, curiosity killed a cat. Almost like what happened to me. Well, it seems that the cultists are making this their home. At least they were. As I say that, I push the corpse to the side.
Much like the other chest you found, this one's empty.
Hmm. Well, whatever was in here, because it's very weird that this one would be empty when the other one was full. Cultists must have got it. Yep. After dying. Or he, before dying, and then as he tried to close it, he probably triggered the trap. Yes. Seems correct. Anyway, let's go.
Which way are we going through?
Let's go back down to the kitchen and through the other door, which, according to Murkub's map, leads to the dining room.
You open this door. Again, this is quite a large room. Slightly bigger than the kitchen. And much like it, everything seems to have been destroyed long ago. There's also a pair of chandeliers that once hung by chains on the ceiling, smashed on the ground. The smashed furnishings also include a long wooden dining table and about a dozen chairs. To your immediate right, you can see that there's a fireplace, standing in front of which is another one of these kobolds. Give me a straight up initiative roll for everybody, and I'll roll for the kobold. And the likelihood is you'll probably act before he does. Just tell me which is the highest roll, and I'll compare that to the kobold and we'll see what happens.
The highest roll would be Murkub's, and it's an 18.
I'm rolling like shit today.
I wish we could encounter the dragon today then.
That's a total of 3.
Okay, yeah.
So yeah, let's go with Murkub first and see whether this kobold lives to take a turn.
Yeah, we all rolled over a 3, so all of us would go before it.
Yeah, probably safe to say he's not going to survive this one. What's Murkub doing?
Murkub is rushing up to it as soon as he sees it and slashes with a scimitar of wounding.
Alright, roll to attack.
16 to hit.
That hits.
That's a total of 10 damage.
Murkub slices his scimitar straight through the neck of this unsuspecting kobold as he collapses to the floor in a bloody pile.
Good job, Murkub.
Oh, this is easy, mate.
Yes, yes.
Bring on the dragon.
Don't get too cocky.
We move on from there. Do a quick search here in the dining room, see if we see anything else that we may have missed.
All right, give me an investigation check.
15.
You notice that lying in the sooty fireplace is a stuffed and mounted head of a large white wolf with glassy blue eyes. You also notice that the door furthest away, because there are 2 doors that lead out from this dining room, aside from the one you've come in, to the door furthest away from you, slightly ajar and set precariously atop it, is this clear jar filled with the grey liquid.
That seems like a trap if I ever did see one. I'm not a fool for falling for traps twice in a day. Let's open the other door.
You find yourself in this T-shaped, like, corridor. A little bit like that infamous Tetris block.
Okay.
So you've got a door that leads back to the armory on your left. You've got that second door from the dining room, which you've seen has a jar balanced atop it. And then a door to your left, which, according to Murkub's map, leads you to the audience chamber.
Very well, I will take the door to the audience chamber. The one to my left as I walk down the corridor.
Is this back to your normal marching order?
Yes, that's correct.
So Favian's opening this door, yeah? To the audience chamber?
Yeah.
As Favian opens this door, again you find a destroyed room. You notice that the stone floor is painted with a shield-shaped crest that features a black tower being struck by a golden bolt of lightning. Stood in the middle of this room are 3 more of those kobolds, but your eye is also drawn to a number of corpses on the floor, a mix of kobold and cultist. It's time to roll for initiative.
Ooh, this time it's 3, let's see. Okay, that's a 2 for Murkub.
Alright.
20 for Favian. 13 for Shrew.
Okay. Fenner and Caspus?
6.
Alright, I'm going to roll for the 3 kobolds. Alright, so the order of initiative will be Favian, followed by one of the kobolds, Shrew, another kobold, Fenner, Caspus, the last kobold, and hold in the rear, Murgub.
Very good. So Fabian wants to rush into the room and head directly to the kobold nearest to him. Sword and shield in hands, he's going to slash at the kobold.
All right, roll to attack.
11 to hit.
That does not hit.
Damn it. With his second attack, he wants to try again. 11 to hit.
Does not hit.
Okay, that's his turn. Had to be Fabian.
He's not going to hear the end of this, is he? The kobolds look rather shocked to see this group of adventurers in their domain. The kobold, standing just 10 feet away from Fabian, to his left as he's engaged with his foe, grabs his pot from his waist and throws it at Fabian.
Ooh.
It's a total of 19 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
This jar explodes on impact, and a swarm of worms appears from it.
What is this?
Tricksy kobolds.
He's going to try and kill me with worms, is he?
These worms are going to try and bite up Fabian.
They're just worms, come on. How much damage can they do?
It's a total of 20 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
This worm bites into Fabian's skin.
Better be one damage or two. They're just worms.
Fabian takes 2 piercing damage.
Meh, that's fine. They're just worms.
But the worm disappears into his skin.
What? No.
It's embedded.
Oh my.
Inside him, and he can feel it wriggling under his skin.
No, that's worrying.
Now it's a shrew.
Shrew is going to rush into the room as well.
As you run in, you're now seeing these 3 kobolds. You're seeing all these worms pretty much all over Fabian and all over the floor underneath him as he's writhing around whilst also being wary that he's got a kobold right in front of him.
Slightly confused at everything, but seeing as the other kobolds were felled so easily, I'm going to ignore Fabian, thinking he has it covered, and I'm going to stand 10 feet opposite the one that, unbeknownst to me, threw the jar of worms at Fabian. And I'm going to cast Poison Spray on him again.
All right, so you use 15 feet of your movement. And this is a Constitution, yeah?
Yeah, Constitution time.
It's a total of 14.
Does not save.
Ooh, your spell save 15? No, 16, was it?
16, that's right. Oh, wow. That's 2 2s. So a total of 4 damage.
This time it's not an insta-kill.
Wow.
Is Shu using a bonus action or doing anything else?
He's going to use his movement to get out of the room again, if he has any left.
You've got just enough to get you back to just outside the door.
That's what I do.
All right, it's now over to the kobold that Fabian tried to attack. Okay, rolling a little better now. It's a total of 22 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
This kobold stabs at Fabian with his dagger for a max damage of 6.
Oof.
That's his turn, and now it's over to Fenner and Caspus.
Fenner's going to get up to the door, squeeze through, look from there, and cast Sacred Flame again.
On who?
She's again seeing Fabian hand to hand with that kobold, thinking he's probably got it covered since they're so easy to kill. She's also seen a weakened one already, so she's probably going to go for the one furthest away, the one that still hasn't been damaged.
All right, this is a dex saving throw, yeah?
That's correct.
My first nat 20.
Okay, then the kobold saves and nothing happens. She's gonna move back a bit, back out into the corridor.
Caspus doing anything? Or is Fenner riding Caspus and all this?
No. Caspus, seeing as we kill them so quickly, and feeling that he's not really been much use in a fight, is gonna go in there. It's gonna be brave. And he's going to try and attack one of the kobolds if he can reach.
He can. He can reach either of the 2 kobolds nearest Fabian.
Yeah, as he enters the room, he sees the weakened kobold. And he's no fool. Caspus is no fool. So he's going to say, yeah, if I'm going to try this, let me attack the weakest one. Let's see how it goes.
What are you doing, Caspus? Roll for attack.
That's 18 to hit with his claws.
Yeah, that hits.
That's 2d4 plus 1 for Caspus. For a total of 5 damage. Not bad, Caspus.
This kobold is on death's door. Just about standing.
Ooh, damn it. Almost.
It's over to the last remaining kobold. He runs up to Caspus.
Oh, no.
He's going to try and attack him.
Caspus has gone rogue.
And is with advantage. Rolled the exact same thing twice. That's a total of 17 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that hits.
It's a total of 6 damage on Caspus.
That's almost half his life.
Oh, that fucking hurt!
The first damage he's taken other than when he was knocked out by the Banshee.
Yeah.
So it's a Murkub.
So Murkub, seeing that Fabian has everything under control, he's just got a bunch of worms on him. Nothing big. He also has a kobold that is pretty easy to take down. He knows Fabian has this handled. He's going to go past him. Going to go past Caspus using his orcish aggression. He's going to flank the kobold that has dealt the damage to poor old Caspus.
Okay then, roll for attack with advantage.
That's terrible, a 3 and a 4. 11 to hit.
Does not hit.
Damn it. Okay, yeah, so that's his turn, I think.
Okay, so it's the top of the round then, with Fabian. Fabian feels some more pain as he can't help this writhing sensation under his skin. And he takes an additional 4 damage.
Ooh. Damn, these worms hit. All right, I think Fabian, after witnessing what just happened with the worms, is freaked out by the whole thing, worms entering his body and all that. So he's going to totally ignore the kobold that he knows are quite weak, and he's going to try and get rid of all these worms that are laying around him and crawling up his legs. How do you kill a bunch of worms? I don't know, but he's going to slash at them with a sword.
All right, roll to attack then.
Okay, what happened? You were rolling like crap. Natural one.
Natural one.
Yeah.
As he's a bit freaked out, he swings his sword, steps on a couple of these worms, loses his footing, and falls prone.
Oh, damn. Okay, he gets back up with half his movement, and he's going to try and attack these slippery worms once again. Better. 19 to hit?
Yeah, that hits.
Total of 13 damage on the wormies. Are they squished? No? Yes?
Quite a few of them seem to have been slashed, but there's still about half of them still lying around.
Damn.
Is Fabian doing anything else?
No. He's gonna stay there.
Then it's over to that kobold that threw the pot of worms at him. This kobold knows he's nearly gone. He's gonna disengage and make a run. Now over to the wormies. The worms are going to try and attack Fabian again. Poor Fabian. It's a total of 22 on Fabian.
Oh yeah, that hits. What are these worms made of?
This time he takes 1 piercing damage.
Okay, that's better.
But he's now got a second worm inside him.
Wow.
Okay then, that's the end of their turn. Now it's a shrew.
Shrew, from where he is, sees the action happening. He doesn't really see Fabian. So he's going to escape a scolding after his poor performance so far. But he does see that one of the kobolds escaped, but another is engaged with Caspus, and Caspus is not doing very well, so he's going to get in closer, 10 feet away from that kobold that is engaged with Caspus, and is going to again cast Poison Spray.
Alright, Constitution time. Man, how many natural ones have I rolled today?
All right. Again, 2d12. That's better, 14 damage.
Oh, he gone.
All right, good.
Is Shrew doing anything else?
No, he's staying there.
Then it's over to the kobold that's fighting against Fabian. He sees that he's severely outnumbered now. He's also going to disengage and make a run. That's the end of his turn. And now it's over to Fenrir and Caspus.
Ben has seen that one of the kobolds has been felled and one of the other ones run away. Gonna run into the room, see what she finds.
She just sees Fabian covered in worms.
Okay, she sees a door, I imagine, where the kobolds fled.
Yeah, she can see a door there.
She's gonna chase after them.
Her movement will only take her as far as the door.
She'll stay there. She doesn't see anything, right, from the door? Is it closed? Has it been left open?
It's closed behind them as they run out.
Then she's just going to stay there for now.
Over to Caspus.
Caspus is going to run up to Fenna.
Murkup's turn.
Murkup, smelling blood, is going to run up to the kobolds that fled through the door. See if he can catch up to them.
Murkup finds himself inside this small 10-foot corridor. And you can see to his left, up a small flight of stairs, the two kobolds that were running away.
Okay, he continues to catch up to them. If he reaches one of them, he's going to attack.
Yeah, he does. He reaches the one that was severely wounded.
18 to hit.
That hits.
And that's 9 damage on that one.
Oh, he gone. Just one kobold remaining. Does Murkup have any bonuses he wants to do?
No, Murkup is staying there.
The top of the round to Favian. And again, he can feel these worms writhing inside his skin. As he takes an additional 7 points of damage. Favian.
How much damage has he taken as of now?
Fabian's taken 20 points of damage.
Damn, he's going to have to heal up somehow.
What's Fabian doing?
Fabian is panicking at this point, and he's lashing out at the worms.
Get these little fuckers off me, shrew!
Fabian, they're just worms! Grow up! 17 to hit.
That hits.
That's 9 damage.
There's just a handful of worms left now.
He's going to go again. 20 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
For 12 damage.
With that, Favian will be pleased to know he's got rid of all the worms except the two that live within him.
How do we get rid of that now? Okay, that's problematic.
Is Favian using any movement?
Still a bit perturbed about the worms in him. He's gonna refocus and run after Murkup.
With 25 feet of his movement, he gets just behind Murkup, who's now within range of that last kobold.
Okay.
So is the shrew.
Shrew is gonna follow Favian. With a bit of a puzzled look in his face after seeing him almost bested by worms. Can he get up to Favian's space to cast poison spray once more and then get out?
You're 15 feet away from that fleeing kobold.
Then from there, I'm gonna cast the Thorn Whip cantrip.
It's been a while since you used that. You want to remind our listeners?
Have I used it?
I think once upon a time, like almost 2 years ago at this point now.
I need to make a melee spell attack against the target. So if I hit, it would take 2d6 because I'm level 9 now. And I would also pull the creature 10 feet closer to me.
All right, he wouldn't be able to be pulled because he's got Murkup and Favian in between you both. But roll for that attack.
Okay. 19 to hit.
Yeah, that definitely hits.
That's 5 damage on it.
He's looking pretty hurt. Almost on death's door. As that whip, whack, cracks into him. Is Shrew doing anything else?
That's my turn, no.
This kobold is gonna disengage from Murkup. And he runs around the corner. It's over to Fenner and Caspus. Both who are still inside the room.
Fenner and Caspus are gonna walk through the door. But they're gonna stop right after entering, seeing as Shrew, Favian and Murkup are occupying the corridor right in front of them.
Okay, so over to Murkup then.
Murkup, not one to let his quarry get away from him, is going to continue the chase and close the gap. If he reaches, he's going to slash at it as it's fleeing away.
He does reach.
24 to hit.
That definitely hits.
Total of 6 damage.
He slashes at him with his scimitar across the back. This creature falls to the floor at his feet.
Victorious.
That brings the battle to an end.
Although Favian is looking pretty bad.
Yeah, so is Caspus.
Does he still take damage, Favian?
It would now be the start of his turn, so yes. He will take damage again. Favian takes an additional 4 points of damage.
Oh, Favian, what are we going to do with you?
I got the last of those cheeky buggers.
You hear Murkup say as he comes back from having killed that last kobold. Guys, I think I've got a tiny bit of a problem here.
Whoa, what's wrong, Fagin?
I got bitten by a couple of those worms.
So you got worms?
I'm afraid I do. They actually went inside my body, for sure. I can feel them writhing inside me.
What do you mean, inside you?
The worms, they bit me. They've pierced through my skin.
Oh, fuck!
Fabian takes another 6 points of damage. And that's what we're going to call it a session.
Fabian! Damn!
The worms. They're going to be the end of us. Do they spread?
Damn. You'll have to wait and find out.
Wow. Bested by worms.
Quite possibly Fabian's taken 30 points of damage now.
Mostly by the worms, really. Mostly by the kobold.
He got stabbed once by the kobold. The rest has all been the wormies.
Oh, man. That's ridiculous.
They're quite weak as well. Just quite surprised.
Imagine we've come all this far just to succumb to a bunch of worms. That would be embarrassing.
That would be quite an end to Fabian's tale. But yeah, he's going to take damage at the start of every turn. So now that we're out of initiative, a turn is 6 seconds. So every 6 seconds he's going to be taking damage unless Fabian or Shrew Shrubberies figures out how to get rid of these worms.
I mean, just cut at the... That's what I'm thinking.
Amputate Fabian's arms.
Not amputate, but you know, wherever the worms entered, just stab it there and kill the worm underneath its skin. That's what I'm going for.
It's going to be an interesting start to next week's episode.
Let's see what happens.
Well, yeah, I hope you enjoyed that episode. It's had a little bit of everything. It's been a while since we had an episode with roleplay, fighting, and exploration. And next week we'll continue with Shrew Shrubbery's exploration of Ice by Hold. And who knows, maybe their first glimpse of their prize, the ultimate showdown with the dragon of Ice by Peak.
Let's see. Can't wait. Can't wait.
And if you can't wait, why not visit www.i2td.com and follow our links there to buy me a coffee and all our good stuff, where we've got little bits and pieces. You know, we've got our Discord server. You can come and chat with us there. We've got the links to our social media feeds. Or by clicking on that link to buy me a coffee, you can perhaps sign up for one of our membership tiers where you can get access to our bonus little reflection episodes where we go over the session we've just played. Whilst you're on that page, Shrew is almost at the end of this adventure. Fabian certainly needs a little bit more help with all our damages taken. Why not consider donating a potion or perhaps a magical item? Your donation will appear in-game and it's an opportunity for you to also be a part of the adventures we play and the stories we tell.
As we are coming closer to the end of the campaign, it would be a good opportunity to point out that any items that are not used by Shrew and his shrubberies in this campaign will carry over to the campaign that I will be DMing, and Nick's character would find them somewhere at some point, probably at the very beginning. It shouldn't be anything that's too game-breaking or anything, because we haven't really added game-breaking items to the shop, so it all should be fine. But just rest assured that any potions or items that you donate that aren't used in this campaign will not be wasted.
Yeah, I'm going to need them. I'm a squishy level 1 wild magic sorcerer.
Oof, yeah.
It could all be over on the first spell.
That's going to be hard to balance, especially with, as you say, your wild magic.
Yeah, I'm dreading
this is
casting fireball on myself.
Yeah. let me frame this. Like, you've always been saying that since you had the concept of the character, you've always been saying, say it again.
Say what?
You're dreading casting.
Oh yeah, casting fireball on myself.
Because that's something with wild magic, right?
Yeah, well, when I cast a spell, I've got a roll on the wild magic table. Or rather, sorry, I've got to roll a d20. And if it's a nat 1, I think I need to roll on the wild magic table.
And that's always been your go-to thing. I'm dreading casting a fireball on myself. See it happen. Like, you've been tempting fate for so long, I can just see that the first spell you cast is going to be a fireball on yourself.
Well, hopefully I won't be rolling like today, where I've rolled 3 natural ones.
Yeah.
I'll be rolling a little better.
Let's see. We'll have to wait a bit for that campaign. But anyway, if you do not want to donate, or you cannot, do not worry. You can still help us out tremendously by visiting us on our YouTube page, for example. Maybe consuming some of the episodes there, or leaving comments on some of the episodes there if you've already heard them in one of the podcast players. Also, leaving reviews and likes on the actual podcast players. anything like that, commenting on Twitter, sharing our stuff around, even if it's live with your family and friends. It doesn't have to be on social media or anything. Just share the wonderful news that is i2td.com or Into the Dungeon. And that helps us out tremendously, so thank you very much if you do that.
And that brings us on to the end of the episode, Club.
The last one standing.
Your chance to compete for the esteemed title of the Guillaume Asfalada.
Yes.
You know the drill. This is episode 80. Leave a comment with a password. It proves to us that you've got the highest constitution and get through the entirety of this episode. And it's the highlight of a week reading those. So today's password is I Spy. Little play on words on I Spy, given that we are now finally here. Shrew has broken in. He started to explore. And he's taken out some of its occupants. So I Spy.
So that's ice, as in ice, ice, baby.
No, I as in...
Oh, I Spy.
I Spy.
Okay,
I Spy.
So
like,
I Spy.
Like the childhood game.
Okay, so yeah, I Spy. Very good. So looking forward to seeing your comments, how you use it creatively. There's been a couple last week that have been quite creative. So looking forward to that. And I think that's it, right?
It sure is. And don't forget to visit our Buy Me a Coffee page tomorrow if you're one of those members, and tune into our I2TS, our Into the Studio episode, where you can hear us chatter a little about today's episode.
See you there.
See you next week as we delve into the dungeon.
Oh, well, it seems there's a door here.
Can I open that?
As you push on it, nothing happens.
Can I pull on it?
You can stick your fingers slightly into the...
Can I finger it?
I'm sure we wouldn't. We also need... We also need to be careful. And so, as our intrepid heroes delve into the icy depths of Ice by Hold... Like what I did there. Delve into.